Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. I'm Luke Caverly with my co-host,
Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
We're Mr. and Mrs. America, bringing you the WWCR program you look forward to. Tonight's program is entitled Fears, February, Foibles, All Over the Map. First, I have an update from a story I covered on the last week's program. The Sunday Star, Eastern Maryland, February 5th, had this headline: Harris, Van Drew, renew calls for moratorium on offshore windmills. Dateline, Washington, D.C. Following the death of two more whales last week, U.S. Rep. Andy Harris, Republican of Maryland's 1st Congressional District, and U.S. Representative Jeff Van Drew, Republican of New Jersey, are jointly renewing their calls for the immediate halt of windmill development until it can be scientifically proven that windmill construction is not a contributing factor in the unprecedented 14 whale deaths along the East Coast since December 1st. Harris said, quote, "Over the weekend, the nation watched as two more whales washed up along the East Coast. While the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration insists that they have no scientific evidence pointing to offshore wind energy projects as the proximate cause of death, they offer no scientific evidence proving that these projects are not contributory causes of death," unquote. NOAA, NOAA said that there have been 14 whale strandings on the East Coast since December 1st, including humpback whales, which are common in the area, and some sperm whales, which are an endangered species. Quote, "I'm renewing my call for a windmill project moratorium until it can be definitely proven that windmill projects are not contributing to the repeated whale deaths that we are now witnessing on almost a weekly basis," Harris said. And Van Drew said, "From the beginning, I have expressed my concerns and opposition with offshore wind farms moving forward without substantial evidence to show how it will affect our environment, our industries, and our marine life. And now, attention is finally being drawn to the industrialization of our coastline because of these tragic whale deaths," unquote. And we have another quote.
Oh, Lou,
yes.
This is heartening that there's a little bit of action in Washington.
It is heartening, yes.
And finally, we must make our voices heard, too, especially on a local level.
Yeah, that's just right, yes. And here we have another quote by Mr. Van Drew. Quote, "Not a single concern has been raised by our president or environmentalists after another whale washed ashore this week, amounting to over a dozen in less than 2 months. Why has there not been an investigation? Why have Democrats been silent on the issue?" Van Drew said. And he concluded, "We must investigate these deaths and get to the bottom if offshore wind activity is the cause." Mr. Van Drew said, "All offshore wind activity must end immediately until proper examinations and investigations are conducted." And this is Lou. Now we go to fierce February foibles all over the map and all over the world. We have this headline, Ireland under attack. Hordes of violent migrants brawl in that taxpayer luxury hotel. Mass stabbings and arrests. This was by the news editors of Natural News in January 6, 2023. The main perpetrator, Fouad Mekazny, arrived in Ireland via France from Algeria without any identification or travel documents. And this was an article by Amy Mack, republished from the RAIR Foundation.com, and that's spelled R-A-I-R Foundation. A vicious fight broke out between hordes of Algerians and Georgian migrants housed at a luxury hotel in Ireland on New Year's Day. The brawl, which included over 20 migrants, led to several of them being stabbed. One victim was left with his finger hanging off. Hotel Killarney in County Kerry is being used to house more than 400 migrants, more than half of whom are believed to be men of about 13 different nationalities. The hotel, which bills itself as one of the top-quality family hotels in Ireland, comes equipped with a heated swimming pool, jacuzzi, steam room, sauna, toddler pools, and fully equipped gym. In addition, there are two restaurants, a game room, an arcade suite, and rooms with a digital TV and 70-plus channels. The violence occurred on New Year's Day at the hotel and was sparked by a dispute police were called to settle. And after they removed an illegal visitor from another migrant housing center, the stabbings took place once the police left. Eight migrant men were arrested and appeared before Killarney District Court, charged with violent disorder on Sunday evening, January 1st. Seven of the eight accused were granted bail.
And now, moving on, all over the map, the Western Journal, watch, farmers may have figured out exactly what's causing the egg shortage. Was this intentional? By Elizabeth Stauffer at the Western Journal, January 27th. On January 12th, the Bureau of Labor Statistics released the Consumer Price Index for the month of December. The data show that inflation had ticked down 0.1% to an annual rate of 6.5%. At the same time, the food index rose 0.3%, bringing the year-over-year total to 10.4%. The single biggest contributor to the increase in the food index was the soaring cost of eggs. According to the BLS data, egg prices rose 11.1% from the previous month and a whopping 59.9% year over year. Anyone who has shopped in a supermarket lately knows the price of eggs has soared. Data from the St. Louis Federal Reserve showed that the average price of a dozen large grade A eggs in the U.S. cost $4.25 in December, up from $1.79 a year earlier. The U.S. Department of Agriculture attributes the current egg shortage to a historic breakout of the, quote, highly pathogenic avian influenza, end of quote, which has killed millions of chickens. According to a rash of posts making the rounds on social media, something more sinister might be to blame for the lack of supply. Last week, a young man, possibly a farmer, claimed in a Facebook post, quote, okay, so something really weird is going on. I have called multiple farms that sell chickens, and they are all telling me that their chickens have stopped laying eggs, and therefore they do not have any for sale. I looked into it a little farther, and apparently they're putting something in the feed to stop them from being able to lay eggs. If you have chickens and are having the same thing happen, try to start feeding them a rice and pinto bean mix, because it seems anything made as feed is being tainted with something that is causing this. In the Twitter post below, a woman who has raised chickens for over 30 years said she has never gone without eggs. But from Halloween until a week ago, her chickens produced just a single egg. After switching from chicken feed to goat feed, they began to lay eggs again. Another Twitter user said her chickens stopped laying eggs between last summer and last fall. She purchased high-quality feed from a local supplier, and they began producing eggs again. In a tweet below, a woman writes, quote, manufactured egg shortage? Feed suppliers have added something to prevent them, the hens, from laying eggs. The consensus is dinner or producer's pride. I'm looking at that. I think that's Doomer, D-U-M-O-R, or producer's pride, are the culprits. These bastards, excuse that language, that's in the original essay, put S blank, blank, blank in the chicken feed to create an egg shortage. In a TikTok video, a young woman said her hens had stopped laying eggs. One day, because they had a lot of leftovers, they served their chickens table scraps. The next day, they began laying eggs. She blamed it on the commercial feed. The young man in the clip below echoes the same problem. He asks, do you think it's intentional? And he invites others to share their opinions in the comment section. Finally, one woman hits back against what she considers to be a, quote, conspiracy theory. She captions her post, let's talk about the chicken feed conspiracy. She tells viewers, quote, this chicken feed conspiracy has gotten so far out of hand. It's completely normal for chicken egg production to drop as they get older. It's also completely normal for chickens to stop laying or lay very little in the winter. It's all natural. Was this a particularly lean year for people? Yes. Do I think that the government's putting something into feed to stop chickens from laying eggs? No. Do I think that the people that make the chicken feed might be cutting a few extra corners that results in the chickens not getting the same nutrients that they used to? Yeah, that's probably a pretty good bet. But we haven't changed a single thing about our chickens' diet, have changed nothing else about their lifestyle, and they started laying at the first of the year just like we expected. We're not averaging like 3 to 5 eggs a day. So everyone just needs to cool their jets, give your chickens extra protein in the winter, understand this is a normal process, and take everything you see on TikTok with just a grain of salt. Whether this is a conspiracy theory or reality, it's getting people talking. And getting people to talk about it may very well be the first step into figuring out what is actually happening to the chickens in this country.
Another part of the WEF Black Heart Emergency Agenda. WEF speaker says genetic predictions about disease could impact whether people, quote, decide to have children, unquote. This came from the LifeSite News by Andreas Walzer, January 20th, 2023. Davo, Switzerland, a Duke University professor and, quote, unquote, futurist, said on Friday that genetic predictions could play a role in whether people decide to have children in the future. She said, quote, a lot of people and a lot of different organizations that I work with struggle with questions of genetic predictions, especially for highly penetrant, meaning it's very, very predictive that you will likely develop the disease, like ALS, for example, but you don't know when. Those are the words of Nita Farahani, said during a panel discussion entitled Transforming Medicine, Redefining Life. And she went on to say, so you have incredibly high prediction, but very little sense about when the onset of the disease would be. How do you counsel somebody about how to integrate that information into their lives, whether or not they should do genetic testing? Farahani asked. What the implications for their family members may be as well, because if they have that particular gene, that particular mutation, it may very well be that their children, have it. Or it may very well implicate whether or not they decide to have children, to pass it along to their children, unquote. Farahani also discussed if employers and insurance companies should have access to people's health data and, quote, genetic predictions, unquote. In a previous talk, the Duke University professor said that wearable mind-reading devices are not a figment of the future, but are already here. Like Fitbits for the brain, quote, already using consumer wearable devices, these are headbands, hats that have sensors that can pick up your brainwave activity, earbuds, headphones, tiny tattoos that you can wear behind your ear. We can pick up emotional states, like happiness or sadness or anger, said Farahani. The vision that Farahani described in her talks appears to go together well with the idea of a biomedical security state, something other WEF speakers have alluded to.
And, Lou, we have to interject there. This biomedical security state, we gave some important information about the new diagnostic coding system that will be in all kinds of medicine, all kinds of efforts that your doctor makes to provide you with health care. There will be this tracking system that Dr. Jane Ruby has brought out under the WHO, and it's approved by our government, we believe, the Zulu, and you said that's the military way of setting up these kinds of items, this diagnostic code. And so there will be this code that will talk about people, tracking them, who are unvaccinated, those who are partly vaccinated, and those who, they might call it delinquent, those who haven't gotten all the shots yet. So that is going on. That's not a very good thing at all. Then we've heard a couple other things that Bush recently declared us the North American area. Now, of course, he will have to put teeth in that. And he's just a puppet. And we all recall...
I think you mean Biden.
What did I say?
Bush.
Oh, yes. You know why I said that? Because then I wanted to go back to Bush, George W. And it was either 2004 or 2005. I think 2005, March 23rd, he met with the head of Canada and Mexico at that time, the heads, and they declared the North American Union, you see, as a reality. Well, God has his own timetable, and we ask you to pray hard for America to repent and for God to mercifully hold the timetable back, hold it back for God's remnant. And if you would like to help us stay on the air, we need mostly checks written to WWCR, or some cash could be helpful, some money orders, they can be anonymous. We love your letters. And one great listener just sent us some postage stamps. That's a big help. Any of that can help us, and you can send it to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And now maybe you can help me remember more, Lou. We just heard an important interview with Dr. Jane Ruby and Todd Callender, isn't that right?
Yes, that's right.
And they were talking about this police state growing and all of the things that can be implemented because our government now is part of a public-private partnership with all of Big Pharma. And it is through our government auspices that all these things are happening. And we really have to be alert about anything that's going to be part of the WHO, the world pandemic. I almost said plandemic. That's what they all are. All of this that's going to track you. So we do want to advise you, if there are medical things you can take care of at home, don't go into the hospital. We were upset that Dr. Dennis Cuddy had been given remdesivir. We've been ranting about that for quite a while. According to Dr. Brian Artis, there was freeze-dried snake venom in it, as well as some of the other things. Now, this is an update. We did hear Todd Callender respond to Dr. Jane Ruby, and a listener, I think, had asked a question. And according to him, it's very suspicious that there may be the mRNA put into anything injectable. In other words, you don't want to get a shingles shot. You don't want to get other shots that if you don't have to, a flu shot. And he thought that it was in the flu shot. And we just really were sort of blown away when they asked, how about Novocaine? And he said, yes. It may not even be too safe to go to your dentist. But, you know, God will watch over us. And there can always be loopholes. We're thinking about Corrie ten Boom in Holland during the Nazi years, who she and her family were hiding Jewish people, and somebody turned them in. So she and her middle-aged sister were sent to Ravensbrück, a dreaded concentration camp. And when these Nazi guards were kind of frisking all the women, and I think they really had to take off all their clothes, and she had a Bible around her neck, and they didn't really see her. We'd have to read the book again to get all the details, the hiding place, whether she was partially clothed and it was just kind of hidden under that. But at any rate, the guards really searched quite extensively the woman ahead of her, then they didn't do her, then the one back of her. So you see, God wanted her to get that Bible into the camp where at night she could read scripture to the women. So don't fool yourselves. If you haven't repented and you're living a very sinful life, there's an eternity waiting, and there is a heaven and a hell. And as time goes by, Lou and I see very much more clearly that day by day, God watches us. What are we going to report? How are we acting in our private lives? Do we get too angry? Do we swear? Do we take God's name in vain? There are lots of things. Are we too selfish? Are we tempted to cheat. You know, Lou got a big delivery of some items that he didn't order. And so he's emailed, and the company, we'll wait and see what happens. We'll try everything we can. And if the company never will respond, then God has a purpose for these items because they might relate to our work. But we're not going to try to engineer something that is not ethical. We'll go the last mile. I know Lou. One time I wanted him to do something about, we were declaring some kind of a problem with a shed that fell down, and I said something about some screws. I don't remember all the details, but he says, Elizabeth, that wouldn't be honest. So he's really true blue Lou. He really is. But what I'm trying to say is all of us have to keep examining and repenting in our everyday lives. And we can't worry. If this stuff is in Novocaine and we have to go get a tooth pulled, we have to trust the Lord. But on the other hand, we don't foolishly keep running in to get help that we could take care of with natural supplements, natural good food. Please, please make yourselves more self-sufficient, because something bad is tightening. And we hope and pray that it won't come to civil war, but the American men, that is the last stand. They will not give up their guns without fighting. I believe at that time, even the lazy ones watching the Super Bowl and every other sports thing that can possibly be on TV, when that moment comes, they are going to stand up and try to keep their guns, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. I think the men that I know are not going to just knuckle under.
No, and we know some good men.
Yeah, and we know, too, that once those guns are gone, you are at the mercy of...
Look at Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. All right, let's move right on there, Lou.
Yes, just wrapping this up, there's one more sentence. It says, former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair recently said at another Davos event that digital vaccine records and digital infrastructure for health data are, quote-unquote, important in preparing for future pandemics.
Who said that again?
Tony Blair.
Tony Blair.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, his word is law, too, isn't it?
Well,
and
influential.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Trudeau and Biden, they're all puppets of this. Well, go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, just to add a few of my own words, this vision is one we must prevent from ever happening. The Big Pharma U.S. government BSL Level 4 COVID U.S.-Ukraine complex is so much worse than the tyranny depicted in Orwell's book, 1984. As Christians, we must pray and strongly oppose this stranglehold of evil.
Right on, Lou. Now we have LifeSite News, Dr. Joseph Mercola, and this was December 12, 2022. Control the food supply, control the world, unpacking the globalist plan to, quote, reset the table. At first glance, the food is medicine revolution suggests the government is finally realizing the importance of nutrition, but it's really just a smokescreen. At the end of September 2022, the White House hosted the Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health, during which President Joe Biden laid out a bold goal. Those are quotes. To, quote, end hunger and increase healthy eating and physical activity by 2030. Now, isn't that interesting, Lou? This we have to comment that the powers that be, the WEF, they've said that by 2030 you'll have nothing and you'll be happy about it.
Yeah,
so
that's
interesting how these two correlate. Now, Mercola's next point, at first glance, it may seem that government finally is taking an interest in nutrition and realizing its impact on health. That would be great news, but things are not at all what they seem. Google and Warner Brothers are among those responsible for improving food access and affordability. Danone, Dole, Instacart, and Walgreens will empower consumers to make and have access to healthy choices. And the Rockefeller Foundation, oh, we must interject, if you missed our program last week from Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Conspiracy, and the updated book is available at Southwest Radio Church Ministry, 1-800-652-1144. Again, 1-800-652-1144. You'll learn a lot about the Rockefeller Foundation. So anyway, it's involved. It's part of the group that will tackle enhanced nutrition and food security research. Food security. Yes, that can mean two things, maybe. Do people have enough food? Are they secure in being able to buy it or get it? But it also goes to that tracking. Everything is being tracked more and more and more. We're getting closer to the mark of the beast, Lou, I think. And now back to Mercola's point again. The goal of this food is medicine revolution is to control the population through food as health care. Integrating nutrition with health care will facilitate the creation of new policies, funding, and control over both areas simultaneously. Oh, comment, Lou. Isn't this a genius?
Oh, yes. Yes, very much so. It looks like they can control all these things at once. Take over your life.
Yes, and former freedom that people had to get the supplements, that's under attack. That's been under attack for 30 years. But once these are merged under the public-private partnership, the freedom will be gone. So now the next point Mercola says is, they're working to get more people into public assistance programs so that purchases can be controlled through digital food tokens. Now, that's important. I need to repeat that. More people into public assistance programs so that purchases can be controlled through digital food tokens. They're also working to replace traditional farming with indoor vertical growing of patented GMO seeds. That's genetically modified. Okay, while animal farming will be regulated into oblivion in order to be replaced by insect farms, so-called micro-livestock, gene-edited food, and lab-grown meat. Mercola says the planned destruction of our food system is well underway under the banner of, quote, redesigning it for greater, quote, equity. At the end of September 2022, the White House hosted the Conference on Hunger, Nutrition, and Health, during which President Joe Biden laid out a bold goal to end hunger and increase healthy eating and physical activity by 2030. The stated goal is to end diet-related disease while simultaneously closing disparities among the communities that are impacted most. At first glance, it may seem that government finally taking an interest in nutrition is great news, but things are not at all what they seem. And before we move away from this article, we hear from a contact in Massachusetts, and this contact is living in one of these group-type homes for seniors. Now, you know, if you're out there and you have a bad roof and something on your property that doesn't look good, please try to get it fixed. Try to keep things up. If there's anything in your neighborhood, any kind of organization that can condemn your house and grab it and put you in one of these group senior congregate living hotel type things in apartments, it's not good because you're going to come under a lot of these nutritional regulations. You're going to come under that digital tracking. You're going to be in for it. So it would be better if you could live by yourself in a private dwelling, or if you could rent a private apartment somewhere. You know, you can always pray to God to help you. We're thinking of a man who worked on our home quite a bit in 2012 because we thought we would be selling it and moving to Pennsylvania. And he told us he rents a beautiful little room or maybe a couple rooms from an elderly woman, and he has this beautiful view here on the eastern shore of the water and everything. So you see, you can look around. God will make a way that you don't have to go under this type of mass control. But let's move to Lou.
Beware the wolf in sheep's clothing. A long list of businesses and civic, academic, and philanthropic organizations were identified during the conference as having been chosen to pave a new path to health and well-being for all. To highlight just a few of these alleged saviors, DoorDash, Google, and Warner Brothers are among those responsible for improving food access and affordability. Danone, Dole, Instacart, and Walgreens will empower consumers to make and have access to healthy choices. And the Rockefeller Foundation is part of the group that will tackle enhanced nutrition.
And this is still part of Dr. Joseph Mercola at LifeSite News, December 12th.
Yes, that's right. I'm sure you're feeling warm and fuzzy. These are Dr. Mercola's words. I'm sure you're feeling warm and fuzzy already, knowing your health and food security are in such capable and responsible hands. To start, Biden has earmarked $8 billion to fund businesses that will perform nutrition screening and integrate nutrition into health care. Startups focusing on solutions to hunger and food insecurity and philanthropy that, quote, improves access to nutritious food, promotes healthy choices, and increases physical activity, unquote. But as reported by investigative journalist Corey Lynn, the narrative is to convince everyone that it is due to COVID and climate change, and therefore these ineffective so-called leaders will suddenly have the people's best interest at heart and finally get the job done. The reality is the economic decline due to the lockdowns, manufactured supply chain disruptions, putting thousands of companies out of business, intentional inflation, and health conditions exploited during and after the orchestrated pandemic is what has created a loss of income, inability to afford food and gas, and complete disruption in everyone's well-being. The threefold goal. As detailed by Lynn, the goal behind this food revolution, and that's in quotation marks, food revolution, the goal is threefold. It has nothing to do with actually improving access to healthy foods and lowering disease burden. It's really all about controlling the population through food by, one, getting as many people as possible into SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, and WIC, Women, Infants, and Children, programs, so the purchases and spending can be controlled through digital food tokens.
And Lou, not to mention the contents of this kind of food, quote, food.
Yes, that's a very good point. Ultimately, the goal is to move everyone into a socialist food system based on government assistance tokens. And point two, integrating food and nutrition with health care so that food and health policies are under one umbrella. This will facilitate the creation of new policies, funding, and control over both areas. Food purchases and health records will be linked to your vaccine passport, digital identity, which also holds your educational records, travel records, work records, and bank accounts.
Now, that's really like a universal control, isn't it?
Oh,
that's
yes.
Over every aspect of our lives, practically. Read that sentence one more time, and listeners, think about these things and tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com. DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell them to listen to our archived programs and tell them to read some of our essays, especially the ones about the COVID shots, under Breaking News. Yes, read that sentence again and let us think about all of these aspects that will be under this digital tracking.
Food purchases and health records will be linked to your vaccine passport / digital identity, which also holds your educational records, travel records, work records, and bank accounts. According to Lynn, it is one big master plan. By training thousands of physicians in this new model of food is medicine, rolling out nutritional screening, medical meals, and produced prescriptions, they are laying the groundwork for all of this. Food is medicine, that's in quotes. Food is medicine are the key words being used to campaign, launch programs, change policies and financing, aggregate data, tie the health care industry in which the food supply, and ultimately screen, track, and control people through food. Changing food standards, food categories, and nutrition, traditional farming of grains and plants will be replaced with indoor vertical growing of patented GMO seeds, while animal farming will be regulated into oblivion in order to be replaced by insect farms,
yes,
so-called micro-livestock, gene-edited food, and lab-grown meat.
Yes, now, he mentioned that earlier in the same article. So we brought to our listeners some of the ingredients in Bill Gates' Beyond Meat, which was really amazing. So And we also, on this program, never advocate being a vegetarian because there were some stats that I read one time about vegetarians having brain shrinkage as they got older. And we were thinking about at Christmas time, we got a postcard or a family picture on the Christmas card of a girl now. She is now like about 45 years old, and when we knew her, she was 16, and she suddenly became a very avid vegetarian. And she doesn't look well now at 45, not like other people we know are not vegetarians. Lou, do you have another article coming up next?
Well, now let me see. I think I do, yes.
What do you have? We may have
this one is called Security Guard at Pro-LGBT Mall of America Threats to Kick Out Guest Wearing Jesus Saves T-Shirt.
Yes, we'll just get that headline. I think ultimately he was allowed back in, wasn't he?
You know what? I don't have that.
I'm not sure.
But it just leaves off with the security guard.
It shows the kind of stigma that's starting to get worse toward anyone who's a Christian. Then is that the last one you have?
Yes.
Then I have LifeSite News, January 18th. NHL star cites religious beliefs for not wearing LGBT jersey on Pride Night. He's being true to himself and to his religion, said Flyers coach John Tortorella, defending his player's decision. And so this was in the Professional National Hockey League. This player, I guess, what was his name? It was Ivan Provorov, and he was the only member of the Philadelphia Flyers who refused to wear a rainbow-colored jersey ahead of Tuesday night's annual Pride game against the Anaheim Ducks. And he said, I respect everybody, and I respect everybody's choices. My choice is to stay true to myself and my religion. I think, do you have something after that?
Well, my next item is about New York Times urges readers to mate with short people.
Oh, yes, that's a ridiculous one. What number do you have on that?
That's number 8.
Yes, I think before that, we now have to get this headline that LifeSite News, January 26th, this is some encouragement. When we stand up for the Lord, he doesn't ignore us. He gives us help. Overwhelming. Thousands attend Kirk Cameron's Christian Story Hour at libraries. Cameron had previously been denied the chance to read his book at over 50 libraries that allowed drag queen story hours, the proponents of which blatantly admit their goal is to indoctrinate children. Thousands of Americans are showing up for evangelical actor turned freedom activist Kirk Cameron's book readings at public libraries, a sign that Christians are refusing to be silent about the intrusion of LGBT ideology in their communities. Over the last 2 months, more than 2,500 people have descended upon libraries in Southern California, New York, and Indiana to hear the outspoken Growing Pains star read from, quote, As You Grow, his latest children's book, published by Brave Books in December of 2022. Nobody can stand in the way of God-fearing, loving fathers and mothers. Despite the downpour of rain, these brave patriots came out to support Kirk Cameron's live book reading. Cameron had previously been denied the chance to read his book at over 50 libraries that allowed drag queen story hours, the proponents of which blatantly admit their goal is to indoctrinate children. And Lou, we interject, we've heard that it's really worse than just indoctrination. It's grooming them for pedophilia. Cameron, back to the article, a father of six, says he's planning future visits to libraries in Missouri, Oregon, Colorado, Illinois, Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Florida as well. This is a message to every library in the United States. In 137 years of the Indianapolis Public Library's history, never once have they had over 2,500 people show up to a single event until today. And that was the Brave Story Hour. During an interview with Fox News host Tucker Carlson last month, Cameron called out the double standard that's applied to Christians. I'm thinking, wow, if we're so committed to diversity, why am I being excluded? he asked. Why can't I use your facility to read my book? You're a library. The family and the church are two great pillars of Western civilization, Cameron continued. Those two things need to be removed and taken out of the way in order to fundamentally change the power structure and the moral value code of the nation. Cameron has long been a favorite among conservative Christians in America, and not only for the wholesome characters he portrays on screen, but also for his willingness to call out homosexuality and defend the unborn. And this is Elizabeth. They mentioned his sister, Candace Cameron Bure, and how she defended traditional morality on a number of occasions. But we have to ask, why does she continue to work with Hallmark with the Christmas movies after LGBTQ storylines have invaded? The Bible says separate.
And now we're going from the sublime to the ridiculous, real fast. New York Times urges readers to, quote, mate with short people to stop climate change, unquote.
And you know what? Just give us a few snippets of that. It's so absurd. Just pick out a few snippets, and then we're going to move right on.
Yeah, it says, since short people are smaller in terms of their height, Altman, and that would be the author of this article, Mara Altman, feels as though reproducing more of them instead of tall people will, quote, potentially save the planet by shrinking the needs of subsequent generations. So her idea is, I guess short people don't need as much clothing, so we can get more short people, or at least if we can just get rid of the tall people, we'll be fine.
You know, it's sort of related to the idea that I heard Alex Jones talk about one time, that a lot of people who are short, their ancestry was comprised of serfs because the aristocracy got all the good food and they grew to be very tall. And so these serfs were controlled to not be very tall. And now we're going to move right on to guess who's really behind the anti-gas stove crusade, the World Economic Forum and their Democrat lackeys. This is Friday, January 13th at Natural News by Ethan Huff. Citing concerns about harmful pollutants, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has recommended banning gas stoves from all new construction. It turns out, though, that the CPSC is not the original source of this latest green agenda. The World Economic Forum is. According to the CPSC, gas stoves are a hidden health hazard that harm children. As such, the government has to ban gas-powered appliances from everything new that gets built across the former land of the free. Natural gas stoves, which are used in about 40% of homes in the U.S., emit air pollutants such as nitrogen dioxide, carbon monoxide, and fine particulate matter at levels the EPA and the World Health Organization have said are unsafe and linked to respiratory illness, cardiovascular problems, cancer, and other health conditions, according to reports by groups such as the Institute for Policy Integrity and the American Chemical Society, reported Bloomberg. Now, we could go on and on and on. Ethan Huff says none of this is true. Gas is cheap, abundant, and highly efficient. While electric, the green alternative is expensive, unreliable, and highly inefficient. But since the WEF and other globalist entities want gas to become inaccessible to the plebs, they are now manufacturing the science to claim that gas is dangerous. We're going to get more of this. What's your next article, Lou?
Well, the next one just backs up what you were reading. More bans. New York Governor Hochul seeks gas heating ban in new homes and buildings.
And also, on the article I had, there was one interior headline, California Air Resources Board votes to end sale of natural gas heaters by 2030. So it's everywhere. It's an agenda, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, I grew up in a home that had natural gas, and if the machine is working right, the stove and the heating plant, there's no sizable amount of pollution. It gives off a little carbon dioxide, gives off some water. That's about it. It's pretty clean.
Yeah, go on. I think you have another article pertaining to this. You were going to give a little bit more about the New York situation. Is there a little bit more there, a couple more snippets?
Well, it mentions that she proposed in her State of the Union address to the New York legislature, quote, I'm proposing a plan to end the sale of new fossil-powered heating equipment by 2030 by calling for construction of all, and well, she kind of breaks this up here, by calling for construction of all new construction needs to be zero emission, starting in 2025 for small buildings and 2028 for large buildings, Hochul said. And we're taking these steps now because climate change remains the greatest threat to our planet, but also to our children and our grandchildren.
And do you have something near the end in which the writer wondered whether soon they will be making an edict that human breathing is going to be banned?
Yes.
Can you read that little, go into that?
Yes. Paragraph states, Governor Hochul can shore up her political power base by forcing more low-income residents onto government assistance with her proposed energy affordability guarantee to ensure more and more voters are dependent on her government's benevolence.
Now, stop. Now, see, listeners, how this all links in, especially if you're older. The idea is to get their tentacles over all aspects of your life, get you into that little crowded community. Everything is the word community, that community of seniors in that great big building with all the big meters running. I don't know what they do, probably 10 times worse than the little smart meters in people's homes, but they want these tentacles of control. Go ahead, Lou.
And the author of the article says anyone can pretty much try to justify government action if they somehow claim that climate change is, quote, greatest threat to our planet, unquote, and that bans will save us. Humans inhale oxygen and exhale CO2. Is human breath next to be banned?
And then the Western Journal, Warner Todd Houston, January 26, says, headline, it's not just gas stoves Democrats are coming for. Here are other home appliances on the chopping block. Earlier this month, Biden's Consumer Product Safety Commission announced that it opposed gas stoves and was looking at ways to eliminate them, prompting an outcry over the coming ban. But climate scolds aren't just looking to ban your gas stove, America. They have a long list of other appliances they want canceled, too. Let me go on and see if I can just grab a few things out of that next part. The nanny state move was further complicated by the fact that the study used by CPSC warning that gas stoves promote asthma in kids was partly funded by RMI, a group that seeks to accelerate the clean energy transition, and was co-authored by Brady Seals, the manager of RMI's carbon-free buildings arm, which aims to retrofit buildings with electric appliances. In turn, RMI, which used the study to promote stove electrification, has received at least $1 million in donations from Breakthrough Energy, a green energy investment firm founded by, guess who, Lou? Bill Gates, as well as the Bezos Earth Fund and Bloomberg Philanthropies. According to the 2022 RMI donors report, it all goes back to the same place. And then the hypocrisy of it all went viral when images of Jill Biden, Kamala Harris, pardon me, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez using gas stoves in their homes hit social media. So we're beginning to see this hypocrisy quite a bit. Let me see if there's a little more on this we want to bring out. Oh, to name just a few things Biden wants banned. Fox noted the list includes water heaters, furnaces, clothes washers, dishwashers, ceiling fans, microwave ovens, and shower heads, all in order to push his unattainable net zero climate goals. The only thing consumers will find with this avalanche of restrictive regulations is higher prices on their appliances and goods.
And then, let me see now, we have from the Netherlands, they're going to shut down Europe's largest gas field even as energy crisis worsens. This was by J.D. Hayes of Natural News, January 26th. Europe has not been this short on energy supplies for decades, but thanks to a series of self-inflicted, politically motivated decisions, the continent is now on the brink of total economic collapse for want of more energy. For years, European countries, driven by insane left-wing climate change ideology, have been steadily shuttering power generation centers run by fossil fuels and replacing them with far less efficient and wholly unreliable green energy alternatives. Wind and solar farms may assuage liberal consciences, but they do not produce enough power by themselves to replace coal and natural gas-fired plants, to say nothing of zero-emission nuclear power plants. But it's not that Europeans were using a lot fewer fossil fuels for energy. Instead, European countries were buying much of it from Russia, thinking that as long as they weren't producing it, and someone else was, then they could claim how they were taking care of the planet. When, of course, it was all just a sick left-wing charade. After Russia invaded Ukraine and the United States demanded that its European allies impose energy sanctions on Russia, Vladimir Putin no longer supplied Europeans with the natural gas they need to heat their homes and power their economies. Mind you, Putin is still selling energy, mostly to China and India, so he hasn't been hurt too badly. Europe is a different story, however. And now the continent's ability to supply itself with enough fossil fuel energy to sustain itself is about to take another self-inflicted hit, as reported this week by oilprice.com. The Dutch government plans to close the Groningen gas field this year, despite Europe's precarious supply position. Groningen is the largest gas field in Europe. This field is dangerous, a government official from The Hague told the Financial Times, and the government has no plans to boost production from it. Production from Groningen has been curtailed substantially, and there were plans in place to phase out production altogether because of increased seismic activity in the vicinity of the field, even before the energy crisis began in 2021. As gas prices began to climb in the autumn of 2021 and then took off in the spring of 2022, some began speculating that the Netherlands could keep the field operating to contribute to filling the gap in gas supply left by Russian pipeline deliveries. Hans Vreebrief told the Financial Times, "We won't open up more because of the safety issues. It is politically totally unviable. But apart from that, I'm not going to do it because it means that you increase the chances of earthquakes, which I don't want to be responsible for." He added, "It's very, very simple. Everybody who has some knowledge of earthquakes or earthquake danger tells me that it's really very dangerous to keep on producing there. I'm quite convinced it's wise to close it down." So, production from the Groningen site has been cut back significantly, and there were already plans in place to shut it down altogether due to seismic activity in the region of the field ahead of the energy crisis that worsened last year. And it goes on to say, I'll get a few of the highlights. They were, some began speculating that the Netherlands could keep the field operating to contribute to filling the gap in gas supply left by Russian pipeline deliveries. But apparently that's not going to happen. According to the FT, there have been around 100 quakes in the vicinity of the Groningen field since the 1980s, resulting in around 150,000 claims for property damage. So rather than find a new field, the Dutch have decided just to shut down Groningen and perhaps keep their fingers crossed and hope for the best that someone will be able to step in and provide more, quote, politically viable, unquote, energy.
Let's just commit suicide.
Yeah.
And here's America Unhinged. Members of globalist WEF, that's the World Economic Forum, are pretending to be gods. Brady on TV, January 27th, written Natural News, Bill Carter. And they talk about an interview with Bill Federer. Many of you remember Bill Federer and all his writing and wonderful commentaries on America's history and American miracles. And he had an interview with Dr. John Diamond on January 24th on Dr. John Diamond's program. Federer outlined how the elite members of the WEF, which he called a group of self-declared gods in the 21st century, decide on what they believe is, quote, best for humanity. The WEF recently concluded its annual meeting at Davos in Switzerland. The author said that, similar to other great despots, the globalist WEF uses two methods to take power away from the people, fear and free things. When people fear, they will trade their freedom for security, Federer explained, adding that free things make people dependent and urge them to want more. He compared this to a drug dealer taking over a neighborhood. The drug dealer can either use guns to make the residents submit or give away free drugs until the residents get hooked. According to Federer, this is how the Great Reset would take freedom away from people all around the planet. The globalists have already installed fear in the people using the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic. Now they are pushing for digital tracking to determine the people who already took the experimental shots. One example of this is the central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Everybody will go to the government, and it would say, we got digital currency called a CBDC. We'll help everybody go to the digital currency to keep the economy going, and then we'll be able to track every purchase, Federer told Diamond. With CBDCs, the globalists will be able to make the money disappear anytime they want. Program the digital money so it can only be spent on some place in some places, and put a time stamp on the money that will cause it to reset to zero if not spent by a certain deadline. This is the Great Reset. This is their plan on a global scale, Federer said. Federer concluded, every attempt at everybody owning everything equally always ends up with a deep state bureaucracy of insider government. Elites will be passing out favors to their friends and their business and stock tips. They get all the inside deals. And if you stand up against them, they'll use the power of the state to have an audit. It always turns into a dictatorship, he said. Lou, it was interesting when he said there were two ways that they got you under control, and one of them was to use guns, you know, intimidate them, and the other was give away free things. Remember how they were giving away free pizzas and lottery tickets here in Maryland to get people to get those COVID shots jabbed into their arms?
Oh, yes, a little bribery there.
Yes, yes. Yes. And if you appreciate the truth in our program, please tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and visit our listening archive. And if you would like to help us, send what you can to Lou Caverly, L-O-U-C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And these February fierce foibles will continue with a part two next week. God bless you and good night.